Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This Yankee Report is brought to you by Sweeney Murdy. It's also brought to you by New York Community Bank and the NYCB Family of Banks. Online at mynycb.com, by Adorama, the official electronic retailer of the Yankees Radio Network, and by Interstate Batteries, every battery for every need. Sweeney, you get it because you're smart.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, well, I'm giving you credit. I think so, at least.
So, hope so.
Matt Holliday, the former Yankee, just got called up by the Colorado Rockies. And so there are these two women, and one of them in Colorado, they're wearing Padre hats, and one of them has a sign that I think is hilarious. It says, Matt Holliday never touched home. And I got a guy tweeted me and said, I don't get it. Explain. What do you mean you don't get it? He didn't touch home on that wild card. It wasn't a wild card game.
Correct.
It was a one-game playoff.
Listen,
whatever it was.
It was, I don't know, how old is the guy who said that to you? Because, I mean, that was what? That's 11 years ago now. I mean, we got to remember. See, you got to remember, you're starting to get older. So the things that you think are just easy for everybody to remember, there is an entire generation of people that have no idea what you're talking about.
It was 2007. Yeah, because it was the year the Rockies went on their run. That's right.
If that's a 15-year-old that said that, I mean, how's he supposed to know?
Dude, I know stuff that happened well before I was born.
I get it, but this wasn't, you know, this isn't the Kennedy assassination. I mean, you know, come on. You're smart, too. That's why I don't generally believe in, I don't like the excuse of it happened before my time. Like, you know, George Washington happened before our time. We all know who he is. You know, there are certain things that you should know. That's one of those things that if you are a baseball fan, okay, I get that maybe you didn't quite pick up on that. But I laughed. It's funny. Sure.
Well, I tweeted back at this gentleman, Ben from Rockaway, and I said, Sweeney Murdy wants to know how old you are. So that was my response.
Okay, yeah. And like, I mean, how seriously does he watch baseball, you know?
That was so epic. What I remember about that whole run is how the San Diego Padres collapsed. Well, maybe this was a different year. I'm trying to remember. But there was a year the Padres collapsed, and the guy who got the game-winning hit against the Padres, a member of the Milwaukee Brewers' name, was Tony Gwynn Jr. And I always think about that. That's like Tom Seaver beating the Mets to knock them out of the playoffs. That's like Mickey Mantle Jr. crushing the Yankees. What?
That's kind of nuts. You're right.
It is. All right. I don't want to get too crazy here, but all right. With that said,
but
I thought that Aaron Boone's explanation for why he went to Chance Adams the other night, it kind of bothered me because he said, "Hey, if it's a one-run game, I go to Chad Green. It's a two-run game, I'm going to Chance Adams." Don't you think that's an extreme difference in who you're going to out of the bullpen in what is a close game either way?
Yeah, I think the biggest problem there is that it was that you had to choose because you didn't score enough runs. I mean, you know, the idea of having to get Lance Lynn an extra inning there because you were short in the bullpen, you know, he needs the shutdown inning, and your team needs to score more runs early in that ball game, and then this doesn't become an issue because you have the two guys that you have available to you from your A list that you want to get to, you can get to them. You have to draw those lines somewhere. Yeah, it does, you know, you're right. Two runs doesn't seem like a lot, especially when you think, you know, you should be able to score against that team. I think the biggest thing was, you know, Lance Lynn could not afford a three-run homer in that spot, you know, and he needed to get a few more outs. I don't think Boone had enough arms, he thought, to squeeze 12 outs out of that bullpen, and potentially more if he needed to go further than that. But giving up the lead in such, you know, in giving up such a big number in that spot was really what hurt everything.
Yeah, and I didn't have an issue personally with letting Lynn try to get through that inning. I mean, he had given
up
a couple of infield hits, too. And sometimes you got to let your starting pitcher try to get through an inning. And
sometimes it's his fault. Everyone wants to blame the manager for either taking a guy out too soon or not taking a guy out soon enough, whatever. It's, you know, the pitcher's out there. It's not like he was throwing 150 pitches. You know, he missed badly on location with two men on base, and he paid for it.
You know, to the Pedro tweet that he issued a couple of days ago, I think Pedro was wrong about one thing. He said the Yankees don't seem to have the energy of a winning team, blah, blah, blah. I understand some key players are injured. They don't seem to be hustling out there. Here's the impression I get, and I'm not even saying they're wrong for doing this. I'm just literally telling you what I'm seeing, and I think a lot of Yankee fans agree, that the philosophy that this manager and this general manager have is to look more big picture than treating every game as if it's a playoff game. And I think that example from the other night of going to Adams instead of Green is kind of an example of that. And maybe that's the right thing and the right approach to take considering where they are in the American League East. But that's the thing I notice a lot about the Yankees right now, along with the injuries that they have. I don't think it's the individuals. I think it's the philosophy is, hey, we've got to make sure our guys are ready for the long haul more than just winning this particular game.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also think that, you know, I heard you talking about the other day in relation to the standings. I'm not so sure that game gets managed differently if they're, you know, six games closer than where they are now. I just feel like when you get to a certain point of the season and all the personnel is exactly the same and you're thinking about what you have in front of you, I think that's what drives what goes on. I don't know yet how Boone and Rothschild are going to handle this, but I remember Andrew Miller telling me this when he came aboard here. He said, Girardi and Rothschild told him one thing. He said, we're not going to need a three in a row until September. Mm. Okay. Then it's really when it starts getting down to it. And if you remember another, this was 2015, I believe. Carlos Beltran was rested a great deal during the course of the regular season. In September, he played every day when other guys were hurt. And the lineup was short. And Beltran performed really well. But he put himself into the lineup every single day. And, you know, that's what changes in September. That's what you're looking for then. So, I think that when we get to the next, you know, week 10 days here, we're going to get a better feel for what they're doing, especially bullpen-wise and how they start running guys out there. But I think in general the philosophy is set one way for the first 5 months of the season. And then based on standings and where you are, you kind of have to reset a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. The next 11 days, the Yankees are facing bad teams. They're doing it in 10 days, too. They're taking on the Orioles, obviously, this weekend, the White Sox, the Tigers, and then they play the Oakland A's. And right now, the A's are five back in the loss column, four overall. It's going to be intriguing to see if the A's cut into that. And I don't think they are. I don't think, because the A's are playing a tougher schedule, I think, and the Yankees are playing a lot of really bad teams they should beat. But if somehow the A's cut into that, and let's say they're three out or two out, how that road trip is played, because you still want to have home field advantage in that wild card game. And right now you've got a reasonable lead, but the A's could cut that thing and make things a little tighter as we get to that big series on Labor Day.
Yeah, the good news is you can't get swept in a four-game series because it's only a three-game series. You know,
that's
what
true.
Happened, obviously, a couple weeks ago in Boston. The sweep is what you really want to avoid. And that's really the key point in the schedule when some of these guys have to come back. You know, and the Yankees are missing so many key players, and there's only so much you can do with replacements at that point. They need to get a couple of more healthy bodies back and kind of hit the ground running at that point, because I think that's really, you know, they're treading water here a little bit, and that's really the best you can do when you don't have star players. You know, I mean, I said this the other day, it's great to say other guys have to step up. It's a cliche. There is no way to reasonably replace star players and the production they give you. If you've got that kind of talent just sitting around, then I don't know what kind of show you're running, because they shouldn't just be sitting around. You know, there really is no way to accurately and reasonably replace star level production, and the Yankees are missing a lot of it right now. If they can get some of it back in time for that trip, that's really, as we look at the schedule, that's not an easy trip. That's no. Oakland, Seattle, Minnesota, all on the road. That's a tough trip, and I think they have to do, you know, right now you would have loved to have seen, you know, 5 or 6 wins on this 6-game trip. They're 1-1 with 4 here to go against, as you said, bad teams. You know, you can't just split these games. Even if you're undermanned here, you got to figure out how to win 3 or 4 of these games.
The thing I'd feel good about, I know it's baseball and it's such a small period of time, so it's tough to predict, hey, how are the Yankees going to do in 11 games? How are the A's going to do in 10 games? The A's are playing the Astros. They're playing the Mariners. They're facing good teams,
yeah.
And they're also bound to cool off, which they've started to do.
That's exactly right, yes.
And they have. I mean, they've lost the last 2 games to Texas and Minnesota, so they're starting to cool off. It's happening.
Right. You got to wait for, I mean, you know, listen, the Red Sox lost 3 in a row. We said, hey, here it comes, right?
Yeah, right.
At some point, you're right, that has to level out a little bit. I'm intrigued. You know, that's a team that has a lot of power in the lineup, and they've stacked the bullpen with some of the moves that they made. I think it would be, and especially with being in, you know, East-West and having a series so late in the season, I think that's really intriguing for the wild card matchup because it's not somebody you haven't seen since May.
Yeah.
I think it is a big test, and it doesn't mean it's going to line up. You know, I don't even know how the rotations are going to line up for that. It's a little far out, but
yeah.
You know, you're not matching up the right guys, but I think individual matchups, hitter, you know, maybe relievers against hitters, those are the kinds of things I think you'll pay attention to because those are the things that'll come into play late in the ball game. And just kind of, you know, those are the fun games. You want meaningful games in September, fun games in September. Those are the ones you're going to want. You have to stay up for them, but those are the ones you're going to want to see.
I know things can change, but if I had to predict right now, and I don't think it's going out on a limb, I think they're playing in the wild card game. I don't think the Mariners are that good to begin with, and I certainly don't think the Astros are going to lose this division. They're the better team in the American League West. So
I would tend to agree with you, and you know, I think that again, when you go back to what, you know, looking at it from the Yankee fan perspective of being afraid of this one and done game, you know, it's only done for one team. One of them actually gets to win and move on, and that's what you kind of have to set yourself up here for. I'm curious to see what happens. I had this discussion with somebody about a week or two ago. You know, these 6 games the Yankees and Red Sox play late in September, if the lead is still, you know, if you consider it reasonably out of reach, you know, it doesn't have to be officially clinched, but if you consider the fact that, you know, when you play the Red Sox again on September 16th, 17th, whatever it is, that you're not probably going to win the division, you know, how do you, looking at what your wild card situation is, how do you approach those series? Because if you win that wild card game, you face the Red Sox again in a best of 5. Are you showing them your best pitchers? I understand those are probably games you have to keep winning
right.
In order to secure your playoff spot. But what exactly are you showing the Red Sox as far as, you know, you've seen teams in spring training not want to throw their starting pitchers at an AL East opponent. And I understand there's so much more season to play. The games aren't quite as important at that point. But I'm curious to see how you're going to play that and what matchups you're going to look to try to avoid, you know, because of what you might see later on.
I think if I'm 6 games out or closer, I'm going for it because I've got those 6 games with them. And
right.
I know you can't assume they're going to win every game. I'm not saying
correct.
I would, but hey, you're 6
games
out.
But you've got to send that message to the players that you think you can.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're 11 games out, you know,
yeah.
You handle it very differently.
Yeah.
What are you hearing about the health of Didi specifically, who just went out? How are they talking timetable on when we could expect them back?
I think they're waiting for this weekend to get a clearer picture of what's happening there. You know, I hate to listen to people tell me about, like, what they've had, you know, and that this is what they expect. I mean, the people who kind of guess on these injuries have not examined the patient. So I want to see what they're telling us in the next couple of days here about what he's actually doing, what he's allowed to do. And that'll give you a little bit clearer picture. I find the 10-day DL is great for, you know, thinking it's 10 days when you got just a little minor thing. I don't think this doesn't feel minor, but I think the hope is that it's not a whole lot more than 10 days. they're, as we talked about, they're already pretty undermanned here, and he is as invaluable a piece as they have. I don't know yet what he is physically able to do yet, as far as, you know, just getting on his feet, and that'll really determine, you know, how soon he can be back.
So we're going to see CeCe return tonight. Hap pitches one of the games tomorrow, and Severino pushed back to Sunday night. Who gets the other doubleheader game, Sonny Gray?
I think it's Sonny Gray at this point. They sent Adams back because he actually pitched in relief. So they sent him back. Looks like it's Gray unless something else pops up at this point, and we'll see what happens there.
You know, the Justice Sheffield news of him moving to the bullpen.
Yep.
We had talked about that a while ago.
Yeah, congratulations, by the way.
I don't deserve any congratulations for that. But a caller brought it up this week and said, okay, he's moving to the bullpen. What kind of role is he going to have? Is he going to be like Adam Warren? Here's the way I envision it. We'll see if I can go two for two here, Sweeney, on my Justice Sheffield prediction. Because of those splits and how good he is against lefties, and the fact the Yankees really don't have a left-handed specialist. I mean, Zach Britton's a relief pitcher who happens to be left-handed. Aroldis Chapman is a relief pitcher, when healthy, who happens to be left-handed. I kind of intrigued by the idea, especially those splits in the minor leagues where he's been ultra-dominant against lefties, of Sheffield being in a role like that. Is that how you think the Yankees will deploy him once he's called up?
No, and I'll tell you why. I think that that's a role that you need to be available, you know, three times in 4 days. And I don't think that's something they're willing to do with him. I think they're looking at more of the, you know, the two inning type. I think they're trying to build two inning guys up again. If you look at what they're doing with Chad Green and how successful he was last year, he went through a little bit of a rough patch this year, but it feels like they're moving him more to that two inning role again. The beautiful thing in the beginning of the year about the way the Yankee bullpen was structured is they had three or four guys who could give you multiple innings, and for various reasons hasn't worked out that way. You know, Adam Warren, Tommy Canley, those guys are really not part of the multi-inning mix, it seems, anymore. Green looks like he could be working back towards that role, especially as you start moving toward thinking about postseason. That's what you want. I think Sheffield is probably in that mix too. Maybe coming into a game around a couple of lefties so that you can take advantage of that, but not specifically to come in and get one guy out or two guys out and back out of the game. I'll try, assuming that we get a decent regular game tomorrow, I am on between games of the doubleheader. And I am supposed to have Justice Sheffield on from Scranton.
Oh, nice.
At some point during those between games there. They have a 6:30 game. So assuming we get a nice normal, you know, three and change Yankees-Orioles game tomorrow, between games I'm hosting, and I am fingers crossed that Justice Sheffield will be able to join me at that point.
So tomorrow is a Sweeney-Murdy sandwich. The bread are the two Yankee games, and Sweeney, you're the meat in the middle.
There you go.
Yeah, 1 o'clock for game one, 7 o'clock for game two, one of those day-night doubleheaders where they like to gouge their fans, you know, instead of actually giving you two games for the price of one. But how do you feel about it? You must hate that. I mean, if you're covering the game, you got to hate something like that, because what are you doing for the 3-4 hours in between? You just want to play the next game, right?
Well, I'm hosting in between. So
but in other cases, I mean.
The thing you don't like is the circumstance around it. As like, if they had called a game at, you know, 10 in the morning and you never had to go to the park, 7 o'clock game, they call it 10 in the morning and it's a real day off, then you're like, oh, okay, yeah, whatever. I can do a doubleheader. When you go through your day and then they call it and then you have to come back and just get two, that feels a little icky. So, but whatever. Listen, I'm looking out the window right now. It's gorgeous. It doesn't look like rain anywhere. It's hot. It's not as humid as it sometimes can be here. If they want to play two games tomorrow, let's do it. I'll be Ernie Banks.
Beautiful. Thank you, Sweeney. We'll be listening tomorrow between games.
Thanks, Evan.
Thank you. Sweeney Murdy. I may not be listening. It has nothing to do with Sweeney. I think I'm going to the beach tomorrow. So I don't know. Maybe I'll hook Sweeney up on the transistor radio. I don't actually have a transistor radio. It's probably just putting the app on and listening. It's probably what I'll do. But, hey, two games, beautiful day in Baltimore. And I've said this before to Yankee fans. If you have a free weekend, go down to Baltimore. Beautiful stadium, beautiful city. The Inner Harbor is wonderful. Go to both games, have a lunch in between. Beautiful place to go.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.